Just Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
Yes, hello, welcome. We're back, and the judge is back. And I seem to remember in 2016 on the Big Debate, we were talking about Brexit, and Judge quite rightly said it won't happen. Judge also predicted a constitutional crisis that happened. And today, what a week it's been in terms of politics. And again, the question remains, who's actually running the country? Because I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a Scooby. And the bloke that was meant to be a lunatic, madman, crazy, whatever, has turned out to be... I don't know. He's all over the news and has been since the general election, which, again, Judge called that as well. Judge, take it away.
Yes, indeed. The infamous words of David RB. Take it away. Good evening, listeners. It's Judge Jim back here on the Big Debate on the one and only internet radio, Trax FM. Up around 7 o'clock, possibly 10 minutes later than me, is John Bowd's All The Rage show, and he'll be having a good rant and a rave. I don't know if you people out there have been listening to his In The Field work. Absolutely tremendous. He gives CNN a run for their money, I tell you, interviewing all sorts of people all around Europe, really, touching on all sorts of unusual... they're not unusual, but unusual to the mainstream topics, such as the Sex Workers Union in the East End of London, and the International Brigade in Spain, which is hardly ever spoken about. The Spanish Civil War in the 1930s, when arguably World War II started. But anyway, back to what's going on in the world today. It's hard, really hard, not to escape this big issue of Brexit. But is that really the issue? We want to hear from you on the usual contact in the Big Debate. It's not the Big Debates chat room, but the chat room at Trax FM. You can Skype in Trax Big Debate, tweet This Is Jim, Trax FM, or email the Big Debate at TraxFM.org. Is it really Brexit? It's only a place, isn't it? It's only a geography, Europe. Or is it neoliberalism and austerity that's the issue here? Is that the thing that's gone actually wrong? We predicted here, following the general election in June 2017, after the government decided to squander their slim majority, as to what was going to happen. And David, before handing over to me, said how it was projected as some sort of lunatic, the madman, Mr. Jeremy Corbyn. Now look at him. How presidential does he look now? Probably not the best speaker in the world, but he's making sense to a lot of people. A lot of people. It's absolutely brilliant. On form again. Got criticised last week for not bringing up Brexit at PMQs, but the media might have knocked it. The mainstream media, this media didn't. But you've got to think on. These people that you're dealing with in the Labour Party have a strategy. They think things through. For example, I wasn't going to get onto the issue so quick. Before I do, just hold that thought. I'm going to have to jump around here a bit. Big congratulations to Tyson Fury. Crikey, did you see that? Blimey, you'll never see the likes of that again in a long time. And a big congratulations to Harry Redknapp in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I mean, a very likeable bloke, despite his background with tax and Portsmouth Football Club. And I read up on him a bit more, and disappointingly, how he wouldn't finance a property development through his company that he owns to build some council houses in Southampton. But there he is in all his glory, Harry Redknapp, QPR, Portsmouth, Tottenham, the England manager that never was. And Alan Sugar, he made a comment, didn't he? Made a speech, terrific speech, I have to say, in the House of Lords last week about people like Boris Johnson and Michael Gove, isn't it, about how they misled the public into voting out of Brexit. We're back to that again. I was supposed to go on to another subject, but it all leads into one at the end of the day, doesn't it? But Howie said that they should be prosecuted. Now, Alan Sugar isn't the type of man that I actually support or like, but the point he was making was absolutely correct. Now I'm reading, he's going to, if Corbyn becomes Prime Minister, I'll go. Well, Alan, go. You don't pay any tax here anyway. Go and park yourself up somewhere and run your companies from in wherever it is you want to set your place up to. Because we all know about your tax-dodging affairs. You're no saint, to say the least. And you were appointed under Gordon Brown anyway, so you're no Labour peer. Let's get that quite clear now. But I'll leave all the ranting and raving to John around 10 past seven now. I see a bit of a news flash on Twitter that Donald Trump's lawyer, what's his name now? I'm just scrolling through the tweets. It's amazing because I had the news feed up. Michael Cohen has been sentenced to 36 months in prison over porn star hush money, campaign funding, tax law, money laundering, tax evasion. And it's been alleged that he was trying to use money at the Trump Foundation to hush up alleged affairs that Donald Trump had. That's probably why you're getting a lot of news chat today about the Mexican wall that's never going to be built or happen, and all the rest of it. Try and dilute the real news once again. But there's no fake news here on the Big Debate. Everything's referenced. It's not an opinion. I can show you where we got it from by either uploading the link into the chat box. You can follow it yourself, or you can go out and buy the newspaper or the magazine or whatever source that we get to make the program up. The other thing I'd like to say as well is a big solidarity to all those CW members on the Isle of Man taking industrial action tomorrow and Friday. Now, just a brief resume on that. I understand that Communication Workers Union lawfully voted for industrial action over there because of terms and conditions and pensions and moving the 6-day postal service to 5 days. It's a different postal administration to Royal Mail in the UK mainland and, of course, Northern Ireland. It's an independent state, I won't use the word colony, but it gives you a better idea as to what it is. And they'll be taking strike action in the next couple of days. DGSP Terry Pullinger's over there strutting his stuff, talking the talk, and let's see if he pushes the button at midnight tonight. We'll have to see. So a big solidarity goes out to them over there. What have we got? Let's have a look. That's what I wanted to touch on. Because before it gets buried in all the news, I've got it up here on a separate window. It's something I spotted the other day, and it's probably gotten quite forgotten by a lot of people. Now, Foreign Office is to investigate reports that state-funded bodies targeted Corbyn. There's some leaked documents that suggest a Fife-based company promoted anti-Labour tweets. Now, the financing of this company, the Big Debate is led to believe from Twitter and the Guardian newspaper, is actually government-funded. And it was according to, of all newspapers, the Sunday Mail revealed this. It says the Foreign Office Minister Alan Duncan has ordered an investigation into reports that the government provided funding to a Scottish-based company meant to counter online Russian propaganda, which also spread unfavourable views about Jeremy Corbyn. The Institute for Statecraft, and you can check them out on Companies House to see if they're listed there. I haven't done it, I must admit, because I've had a bit of a day today, to say the least, doing my own investigations, that is, but I can't disclose that on air, of course. The Institute of Statecraft, based in Fife, received hundreds of thousands of pounds in Foreign Office money. Now, the hundreds of thousands of pounds that was received, we've looked into this, is rounding up some of the figures. In the year 2017 to 18, which was last tax year, was £300,000. This year, it's been wound up to almost £2 million. Now, according to the Sunday Mail, leaked documents show it tried to promote tweets calling the Labour leader a useful idiot who helped the Kremlin cause and attacked members of his staff. The minister was asked to go on the BBC's Radio 4 Today programme, and he answered with this: "I don't know the facts, but if there is a kind of organisation for which we are paying which is involved in domestic politics in that way, I would totally condemn it, and I have already over the weekend asked for a report to be on my desk by 10 o'clock this morning," I think that meant Monday morning at the time, "to see if there is such activity," he said. Asked if this meant anti-Labour attacks by statecraft must stop, Duncan said, "Not only must it stop, I want to know why on earth it happened in the first place." Now, even more interestingly, who's the new Foreign Secretary? That's right, listeners. That man, the Hunt, that's him. That's a Hunt with an H, is now the new Foreign Secretary. Jeremy Hunt, who for years has run down the National Health Service, it's now up to him to come to Parliament and make a statement about as to what's been going on with this company. It's Duncan has previously responded to a parliamentary written question on the subject. His answer showed that in 2017 to 2018, the financial year, the sum would rise to almost £2 million. And he said that they have a Lithuanian office that they use to bounce the tweets and all sorts of things. So basically what they've set up is a forward office that does a lot of spying, and that was the role, was to, it says, counterattack any Russian hacking or interference into British or Western internet traffic. But it's also been used, according to the Mail on Sunday, to target Corbyn's chief aide, Seamus Milne. The Institute for Statecraft retweeted a newspaper report that said Milne is not a spy, that would be beneath him. But what he has done, wittingly or unwittingly, is work with the Kremlin agenda. So more on that as that unfolds. And I probably would think in the next edition of Private Eye that it could be an expansion on that article. I hope David's got his finger on the button. I can hear those wheels going across that runway as it is. Dave, I think it's go on, Dave. Sorry, you were going to say something. Please.
No, I just wondered if you saw the article and on £2 million being spent last year of taxpayers' money. I think that it was based up in Scotland. Certainly, the current government or the current political party paid taxpayers' money £2 million to discredit the opposition post general election, certainly in Scotland. And what's your thoughts on it not actually getting reported? Because I think it was Emily Thornberry that actually said this had actually happened, and not one mainstream media outlet reported it. Now, if that was the Leveson inquiry, I think it was, or something, anything like that, we would have blown our minds, you know, if it was if it was done on, I don't know, Ariana Grande or something. Oh my god, I think the world would have gone out of their minds. And I think it's constitutionally that would be highly illegal, surely.
It is, Dave, and that is the company I've just reported. It's Statecraft. Was it Statecraft? The Arts of Statecraft, I think it was called. I've just closed the window on my laptop, but they are based in Fife, and those are the figures that the Sunday Mail are banding around. So a massive inquiry there. I mean, what you've got state-funded, and you shouldn't be surprised by this because it's happened before. You know, with police officers that have been planted in trade union organisations, and the big brother of it all, and counter espionage, especially in the 80s when Margaret Thatcher took office and was running amok everywhere. But they've used a cover story really to say it's anti-Russian, but they've probably have set it up for anti-Russian, but they've used it for their own means and ends. So watch this space, because it's interesting. You've got that, and then you've got Trump's part of his, another member of his inner circle, that's all falling apart now. His lawyer's gone to prison. over things. So it all eventually comes out. You can't keep a secret like that. And it's quite clear in these articles, Dave, yes, it's taxpayers' money. You and I have paid for an opposition party to be spied on, effectively, or slurred at the very least. You can infer all sorts of things from that with the gadgets we've got, and we know we've felt the big debate itself has come under attack, cyber attack especially. Anyway, up at 7:10 is John Bowd, and he's all the rage. Well done, John, on Sunday for that anti-fascist march. Spot on. Just like to know where Liam Tufts is. He's gone, isn't he? He hasn't even posted anything online, giving it all the yap now. Oh, God, tooting his horn at people on bicycles. Who do you think you are? Get some air. Oh, my God. And all his mates, all his paedophile mates. Oh, my God, where are they all now? Inside. Anyway, look, David, over to you for that music break.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
Spandau Ballet and to cut a long story short, the ballot for the leadership of the Conservative Party, that is taking place now, and the results will be up shortly at 8 p.m. UK time. I was going to ask the judge something, and when there is a ballot for industrial action, or a ballot for whatever, or anything people talk about, if you're in charge of an organisation or whatever, so you have the Houses of Parliament, and we can see they're talking about us, and it's televised, you know. Why is the Conservative Party leadership ballot, Judge? Why is it a secret ballot? I don't understand.
Well, indeed, why is it a secret ballot, and why is it that certain other thresholds don't have to be reached? I think they only have to, 15% of MPs have to write to the Conservative Parliamentary party, or what is known as the 1922 committee, to call a leadership contest. Now, that, as you rightfully said, I say that opened at 6 o'clock. That will close at 8 o'clock for a count. 158 MPs have come out in public to support Theresa May. The rules, though, people mustn't get confused, have changed since Margaret Thatcher's climbed down. So I don't know how that's going to pan out. But why is it secret? Because it's about accountability, isn't it? Being responsible. And it's something that I'm banding about at the moment. Responsibility is a word made up of two words. One is response and the other is ability. You haven't got the ability to respond, and they can't do it. So the 158 are going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we fully support our Prime Minister, our leader of the Conservative Party. But will that show out in the actual secret ballot? It's a bit like when you write to an organisation or an employee that you write them a letter and they don't reply. Because they don't want, they can't offer you, they don't have the ability to offer you a response. And I won't go too much into that. But when the Commons actually vote, they don't do it secretly. They walk into a room each. So the eyes to the left and the nose to the right and all that, what you hear on now, is they go in, they sign their name, sign and print their name and stand in the lobby, the yes or the no lobby. Some abstain, so I don't know where they go, probably to the bar. And that's how it takes place. But there's going to be some knives out tonight. And I think, I'm not sure how this actually works. I didn't have time today to study the rules and on how, because there's no candidate at this stage of the game. I think this is to see if she's got enough. I think she has to have, is it, I'm not sure, 50% or more? I haven't read up on it. And it'll unfold as it goes. Nonetheless, how this has all come about is probably more important. But before we touch on that, I said earlier on in the show, is it Brexit? Is it this? Is it, you know, I said neoliberalism. The French are going, we should have a take a leaf out of their book. The old yellow vests for a month have gone on strike now. Absolutely incredible. Take my hats off to them, I do. But all of this, is it a diversion as to what's going to happen? Or may I suggest what's about to happen around the world? Because I was flicking through The Guardian today, putting this show together, and I came across this article. And I've read this kind of thing before in The Guardian over the years of doing the big debate. And if you think times are hard now, just listen to this. IMF warns economies not ready for crisis as storm clouds gather. The storm clouds of the next global financial crisis are gathering despite the world financial system being unprepared for the next downturn, the deputy head of the International Monetary Fund has warned. David Lipton, the first deputy managing director of the IMF, said that crisis prevention is incomplete. More than a decade on from the last meltdown in the global banking system, as we have put it, fix the roof whilst the sun shines. But like many of you, I see storm clouds building and fear the work on crisis prevention is incomplete. Lipton said individual nation states alone would lack the firepower to combat the next recession, while calling on governments to work together to tackle the issues that could spark another crash. It goes on. Speaking to an audience at Bloomberg in London, Christine Lagarde, deputy, called on China to take urgent steps to open its economy to global competition against a backdrop of Donald Trump engaging in a bitter trade dispute with Beijing. Lipton warned that sustained trade conflict between the United States and China would likely trigger far-reaching and long-lasting consequences, with a risk it could shift its economy away from the rest of the world. So there you go, you heard it first here on the Big Debate. So is all of this, what's going on, a big, massive diversion? And certainly here, I don't know about the rest of the world. Although I've travelled a bit this year, I've got to say, around the UK and Europe, here in the UK, we're not. There's a lot of people still in a vulnerable state from 10 years ago. For example, I think there's around 600,000 homeless people, and rising. There's food banks that we never used to have. The access to social security, and I'm not going to call it benefits. I'm going to call it social security. And social security is a collective insurance of people that fall on hard times or are vulnerable. It's not a benefit, it's a social security. The social security system in the UK is below par currently. Our education system is falling apart. There's children in schools are in the wrong schools, not for any other particular reasons than their state of mind. It's nothing to do with geography or anything like that. Teachers are demoralised, they're not being paid enough, the hours are long. You've got the police, there are no police. You tell me the last time you saw policemen. You don't see them. The judiciary's fallen apart. I know of one individual that's waiting for an employment tribunal for 18 months. What's that about? It's incredible. So I don't know what it's like across the rest of the world, but there is homelessness in places like the Canary Islands. I can say that. I've seen it. But they have a different approach to it. If there's an empty row of shops there, and I bet if I flew out there now, they'd still be there. They let the homeless live in it. They've got no issue with it. They build up fences and make themselves safe. But in this country, if you buy a 7.5-ton lorry and convert it to a live-in and you want to park it on the seafront, you get moved on. Well, what do you do? What are you supposed to do? I'll tell you what it is. It's called genocide. Anyway, look, went from secret ballots to the IMF warning. How did we do that? But we could only do it on the Big Debate. Brexit. Look at the damage it's done. It's incredible, isn't it? How can someone like David Cameron be allowed to get away with it? Surely there should be some sort of prosecution for the turmoil that he's brought about. The pound this week alone has dropped 2%. And it isn't about your holidays and all that. It's about importing your goods and services. After all, we're an island. A lot of it comes from abroad. Most of it comes from the EU. Before that, when we voted to leave, the pound crashed. We were trading at 1.45, 1.5 against the euro. It's at 1.10 now. It's lowest ever in something like 2 years. The ECJ has conveniently lined up the government get out as well. Any government in the UK can unilaterally cancel Article 50 and Brexit. And then we had the issue in Parliament around, you can't have the legal advice around the withdrawal agreement. You can't have the legal advice published around the withdrawal agreement. I mean, everyone that goes to court, and that's what Parliament is, it's a court. It's part of the judiciary, whether we like it or not. It is. And that's how it works. And it does actually work quite well when you follow something called convention, but we'll get to that a bit later on. Every court you go to in the UK, the legal advice is read out in open court. Whether that's a very junior court like the county court or the magistrates court or whatever court, the legal advice gets read out. That's it. And to go to probably the second highest court in the land, we're not going to publish that, you can't have it, on probably one of the biggest decisions you're asking people to make and MPs to make, and you're holding back half the facts and figures and the legalities of it all, how the hell do you expect people to vote on that and then be humiliated and found contempt of that court or contempt of Parliament and then forced to publish that legal advice that then says, it's an issue, it's going to breach the Good Friday Agreement, we could see another war in Ireland, blah 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 blah. I mean, how deceitful, more than anything. Absolutely incredible. You'll never see the likes of this, I tell you. So then we have, we'll be voting on it yesterday on the withdrawal bill from the EU. Actually, you're going to lose that, and you're going to lose it massively. Oh, yeah, the votes still go ahead. Votes still go ahead. On the morning, the vote's still going ahead. An hour later, towards lunchtime, no, we've pulled the vote. What? How can you do that? We're going to have it in January. You have it in January, you're going to overshoot all the legal deadlines for Brexit, for the withdrawal bill. So they know it's not going to happen. So you're elected on a so-called mandate to say that you're going to withdraw from the EU, from a non-binding referendum, by the way, listeners, non-legally binding referendum, on basically you're asking someone to vote in the fashion of black and white on a rainbow issue. It's how? And now we've seen what it all means. The truth has now come out, hasn't it, over the last 2 years, what it actually means. You know, the chaos, what's happened with the pound, inflation, jobs. And it's been used to hide the real issues in the UK and in Europe, really. The austerity, homeless, people being worst off, although the economy's booming for the few. So then you had that, and now you come to today. This is kind of stalled from about a month ago when that cretinous individual, Jacob Rees-Mogg, who is absolutely loaded, listeners, he's got more money than you could probably, all of us could throw out, maybe. Maybe not Chas Summers, but you'll get him, by the way, 5 p.m. on a Sunday. You'll get the Pac-Man, 8:30 on a Monday. They're the shows to listen to. About 8:10, no, make that actually 8:30 tonight, you'll probably get David RB. I know what's going to happen. He's going to get a knock on the door, special delivery. What's that for? Oh, it's from Wimbledon. It's a special letter. It's your reply. I haven't finished yet. Then you have this nonsense of, we elected her, Theresa May, in 2016, but the public can't have another vote, but we'll have another vote to see if our leader can stay or go. What about the rest of the country? It just goes to show that they are for the few, not the many. They've even removed, can you believe this? This is how desperate they are. The suspension of an MP, they've removed his suspension, and he's being investigated under an allegation of rape. And they've removed his suspension, restored his whip, so he can come in and vote, just in case. But I think the Labour Party, David, are playing it absolutely cute on this one. He's got one bullet in his chamber, Mr. Corbyn. Actually, he's got several. He's got six in his chamber, one of them being the vote of no confidence. And he's showing massive strategic restraint in not going for that motion, because he knows if he plays that card right here and now, he'll unite the government party. And he cannot trust the DUP. The DUP, listeners, they hold the balance of power. There's 12 of them. They will vote with the government because they have absolutely every incentive to do it. They're basically Northern Irish conservatives, if I could put it like that. They will vote with the government. So the Labour Party have got to win it. But at the same time, it's all about the timing. It really is. It's all about the timing. You watch Labour, there's so much talent on that front bench. I mean, you could appoint any of them, and they could lead that party. They're just looking so credible right now. What more can I say? So everyone's saying, why don't they do it? Why don't they do it? You've got to be sure you're going to win it. So let us see. They've got to catch the Conservatives on the hop, or is the alternative thinking, let them eat their young. Let's see what happens with this leadership vote, because I believe the results have got to be published. So the numbers will be the proof in the pudding in the eating. So that's basically my thoughts on all of that. Do you think as well, listeners, I mean, do join in the chat if you're out there. Do you think Theresa May might have given way or called a general election if the Labour Party was run by someone like Tony Blair, if it was more centrist, do you think she'd have given way and said, well, you know, you're in our club, but you're on the other table drinking the same beer as us? Do you think that might have happened? This is Judge Jim. You're listening to The Big Debate here on Tracks FM. And don't forget, soon you'll be seeing my lovely name on a ballot paper. Please do vote. If you're in the CWU and you want a proper representative that's going to represent you all the way, not just push a York on a lorry and give you the old faff about this, that and the other when you're serving up bacon sandwiches on the back door, may you make your choice. I'm not telling you how to vote, just please vote. David, it's over to you in the music studio.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.
We a sip the Henny for the day, baby. Bad man, we no stray, baby. Oops, I done fell for your way, baby. I know, girl, but
Love and Tory Lanez. I sound like Alan Partridge, didn't I? Yeah, but you're listening to Judging Big Debate. Back after a welcome break and ready to set the world on fire. And what a world we're living in now at the moment. Judge mentioned David Cameron, the poor man's Tony Blair. That's what I call Mr. Cameron. And both those individuals, I just look at their legacy they leave. One is a murderer, got blood on his hands, and one called a referendum to split the country up. It's great, isn't it? Fantastic, you two. Well done. Take it away, Judge.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Excellent summary there. Very succinct. Let's have a look here. Up next at around 7:10, is John Bowd's All the Rage. Now, he done a fantastic, I think, two-hour, in total, a two-hour interview with some people we don't really regard as workers, but that's what we, that's what's drummed into us. Let's have a look here. I found something. There were sex workers, and there was, you know, that means working girls, escorts, strippers, that kind of thing. And again, the lady, I can't remember her name, but she's making a great case. And all they want to do is be recognised and be protected like any other worker. I don't think that's too much to ask personally. It's very reasonable. I mean, they're only trying to make a living, whatever they do, you know. And I found an interesting article. Oh, I've just got to peel it back. It's what happens, you see, when you're doing a live show like this. You're getting you're having a confab on the side with your producer. You're sending an email. You're drinking your hot chocolate to keep your voice lubricated. And you're trying to butter up a bacon sandwich. I mean, what? I just haven't got enough hands, you know. Let's have a look here. John Bowd's texting. He's been listening. Stacey Clare. Maybe you can remind me, John, if you're listening. What's the name of the union? Anyway, here it is. If you can send us a text. I thought it might have been the cafe asking for me order what I wanted. Let's have a look. Yeah. Okay, let's put that on hold. He'll get back to me. He's listening. So I can't remember the name of the union that she's trying to... Are they with the Sisters with Voices? Or the World with Voices or something? I can't remember. Anyway, look, getting back to the article. See, I don't drink herbal tea. It does your head in if you don't. I can't remember things. I only remember the relevant things when it matters. It's called Outlawing Sex Work Increases the Danger, Study Finds. An interesting article in today's Guardian. It says sex workers are more likely to suffer poor health, violence and abuse in countries where their trade is a crime, a major review has found. The review by researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine found that sex workers suffering repressive policing, including arrest, imprisonment and extortion by officers, were three times as likely to experience sexual or physical violence from a client and twice as likely to have HIV or another sexually transmitted infection than those who lived in the countries where sex work was tolerated. Just got a text, listeners. East London Strippers Collective, associated with the United Voices of the World. Thank you very much. Quite a mouthful, but you got it here. All right, that's a big big shout out there, John Belt, in the Northwood Massive. Getting back to this article, their health and safety were at risk, not only in countries where sex work was a crime, but also in Canada, which has introduced the Nordic model pioneered by Sweden. I've got that on private chat as well. Yeah, East London Strippers Collected with the UVW. I like the UVW. That's a union, that is. Don't have any wide boy from the Thames Estuary on massive wages that can't write. You know, they seem to be a very equal kind of union going forwards. But anyway, getting back to the article, whereby the client can be arrested for a criminal offence, but not the sex worker. The paper published in the journal PLOS Medicine, that's PLOS Medicine, by Lucy Platt, Associate Professor in Public Health, and Pippa Grenfell, Assistant Professor of Public Health Sociology, is a review of data from 33 countries. Canada passed a law in 2014 to make it illegal to pay for sex, but some sex workers say that has made their lives more risky. So in France, Iceland, Northern Ireland, Norway, Republic of Ireland and Sweden have chosen to criminalise the client. Guatemala, Mexico, Turkey and Nevada in the US have regulated sex work, which allows for better conditions for those who operate within the regulated arrangements. So is it time in the UK to legalise sex work? I think so. Put in the proper terms and conditions in the right places, I certainly think so. It might be that we can have some sort of Nordic model or an Amsterdam model introduced into our towns and cities in London. And you never know what other sort of knock-on effects that could have. Certainly would raise tax revenues, that's for sure. What kind of how would that affect marital relationships, all that kind of thing. I mean, would it have wider social effects if we legalised sex work and protected those workers, at least on a par with other employees in the UK? Your thoughts here, please, on the Big Debate Tracks FM. So, yeah, an interesting article. We touched on this before over the years. But I know John Bowe done a terrific interview with the union over there in East London. Hang on, I'll just get their name. Stacey Clare of the East London Strippers Collective, associated with United Voices of the World. That's John Bowe, that is. He gave me that information. Tremendous. Okay, look, I think it's probably time for a music break on that note. I see as well, before David RB puts the landing gear up on that one, I see Donald Trump's been publicly arguing with the Democrats over the Mexican wall today, but don't take any notice of that. It's just a diversionary tactic, as his former close lawyer got convicted today. But go on, Dave, stick up the landing gear. Let's have some thrust.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Tiffany.
Tiffany. Now she doesn't make records, she's great.
Well, welcome to John. John Band's actually on with Judge, and he'll be on at about 7:10 because I was fashionably late as usual. But I don't, Trax FM don't employ me, so I can do what I want. John Baird is on at 7:10. He's actually with Jim in two different parts of the world, but they're on the same channel. So, John may ask Judge a question. But we're talking about Judge Jim's big debate. Welcome back, Judge. And we're talking about things happening in the world, and certainly in the UK, if you're listening abroad. I know there's some people from the Philippines and Thailand and Japan listening at the moment, and you're probably thinking, what are those people talking about? I've been following politics since I was 12. I saw the defeat of the government in 1979. I saw Ted Heath's election call, who governs the UK in 1974. I have never seen politics in the way now. If you're studying politics and you're young, get your popcorn out. This is big. Judge, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, for that, and welcome, John Baird. He's here on the crossover for tonight's show. What David Darby's just spoke about is the... I was meant to mention it earlier, but it's called... In Parliament, in the Commons, we don't have anything written down as to what should happen when... the 2011 Electoral Law Act about the that's brought about over the anxieties of a coalition government, but it's called convention, and it's convention that you spoke about, the Jim Callaghan government in the 1970s in particular, that when they lost the vote of confidence by only one, but it was still one, he got up and he quite rightly said, "I'm taking my case to the country." And that was the decent thing to do. And he wasn't the first going backwards. I mean, it's something I haven't researched, but it had always been convention that if you'd lost your mandate, then you have to take your case back to the country. It doesn't necessarily mean whether you've got the confidence of the House or not on a motion. If it's obvious, and I would say it's obvious, that everyone else has not had a second say, whereas the few, once again, have had their second say. And their second say is happening tonight. And in about an hour, it will be concluded. In about half an hour after that, the results will be published. So it would normally be convention. I mean, I put some speculation up on Facebook saying, is she going to announce that she's going to go to the palace? Because you didn't actually know that she was not. I mean, to me, but then again, I'm a decent human being, like probably everyone is outside of the House of Commons. I did half expect that she would say that the case is now untenable and I have to go back to the country. But a lot of people are speculating that her real agenda was really never to put Brexit through, because we now stand to overshoot all the legal cut-off dates for it if we do indeed vote in January. I mean, at the end of it, it's concluded. It's concluded now. I mean, Manchester United don't say, oh, we can't win the Premier League, we're not going to cancel the whole competition next season. You just can't do that. It's over. You lost the vote because you didn't put it to the House of Commons. You now have to go to the country, go to the palace, dissolve Parliament, do the decent thing, and let's see what happens from there. Another referendum, well, you can have as many referendums as you like. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think people have seen now the evidence of what Brexit really means in reality. It means uncertainty. The £350 million that the NHS was meant to get, it never got. Now that's facing another winter crisis. But we're too busy talking about Brexit still to pay any real attention to it. I think the time is now. Dissolve Parliament. Let's have an election. If we can't do that, maybe the Queen, under the same convention, has to call for the opposition leader to see if he can form a government. and see where we go from there, which would inevitably result in an election. But I think, as far as I'm concerned, only a personal opinion, not necessarily opinion of the station, Brexit is finished, it's over, it never was to begin with, that's it, it's done. Along with Tommy Robinson, or Stephen Yaxley Lennon, Liam Tufts, all the rest of them, it's in the bin. That's what I've got to say on it. But I did pick up an article that I picked up in The Guardian about, very quickly, pay rises to hit 10-year high, but future for jobs is unsure. I can see that the time is ticking. So I'm going to shut up now and give way to anyone that wants to come in.
Okay, well, I'll pop in and just respond quickly to you're saying, is there anyone else who can do this? I can hear a very catchy riff from an old White Stripes song in the distance somewhere. I think you all know which one it is. Although I'm not sure if the musical content of our shows normally would lead you to believe we're cool enough to like the White Stripes. But yes, I'd go for that one. I think there's a lot in what you say, Jim. I think there's... And do you know what? I never did get my shit together to actually talk about Brexit on this show. And now I'm starting to wonder whether I should just ditch it and not bother. Or at least to wait till there's actually some kind of result. And then just do like 3 weeks of me ranting about, to be honest, this is always the way with things like this for me anyway. I was far more interested in the kind of stuff you just talked about there, the everyday issues for real people's real lives, you know, and what this did to community cohesion and the fact that the people who had planned it and executed it are completely insulated from it.
Yes,
none worse so than me. When I was talking to someone about this week, actually, if you think back now to the kind of mad times of 2016, on that day when the result came through at like roughly speaking around 4 in the morning, and then at roughly speaking around 8:30, the Prime Minister just resigned. Just for a second, like, think about that. The way that he was able to just go, right, that's it. We had this referendum, which is not a general election, which is only about kind of membership to what is basically a glorified economic body. It's gone wrong. I'm off. See you later. And I just feel like there was an underwhelming response to that.
Yeah, absolutely. He just went, that's it, I'm off. And that's it. I mean, what in effect, if he's an employee of the UK, I can see this going over into John's show a bit further. If you went to work as an employee, which he is, at the end of the day, he's a civil servant. He might be the Prime Minister, but he's still a civil servant. You went to work and you committed the equivalent, which he has done, of gross misconduct. Where do you think you would be? I'll tell you where you'd be. You'd be writing out a letter for an appeal. That's where you'd be, because you'd be sacked. He just walks off. That's it. And this is where, I mentioned it earlier on in the show, I don't like the man. I never watched his show. I got the impression that you turned up his show, you got fired, and people were entertained by it. I still represent people to this day. How you can find people getting dismissed entertaining, even things like football managers and all that. We've even got union reps on social media that celebrate when a football manager gets sacked. And some of these union reps, I don't mind telling you this right here and now, they cop a load of money out of the union. They're on big money, and they're telling us, oh, go and rescue your members. A football manager gets sacked. Oh, I'm glad he's gone. Oh, really? That's nice, isn't it? But look, yeah, and no consequences for David Cameron whatsoever. He just walks away. He has he has two more bites of the cherry at the PMQs. He's not even suspended. If I go to commit a gross misconduct, oh, well, we'll take you off of that. You've got to go in there, or you've got to go home now for 2 weeks whilst we think about your investigation and all this. No, not for him. He just strolls off. And the constitutional crisis, not just the UK has faced, but the rest of Europe as well has been left. And I'm not saying the EU is perfect. It's not. But all the working rights since its creation has come from Europe. Europe was the first to put in the European Convention of Human Rights after the war. Guess who the last country was? That's right, you guessed it, the UK. Who invented it? The UK, but yet we were the last to put it in. But I could go on and on about that, but there we go.
Yes, I do think in hindsight that David Cameron should have been put under country house arrest while we investigated his crimes against the country, without a doubt. Yeah, it's just an interesting old state of affairs, isn't it? I mean, let's not do it, because for once, believe it or not, for once, I don't want to talk on this show about the far right and nationalism and stuff. But all I will say is all those good patriots out there who don't value the Human Rights Act, and also don't actually do anything. And I always love that kind of, like, I'm a membership of a country. Yeah, you were born here. I was born here too. Have you done as little as I've done for 40-odd years? Yeah, just sitting in the pub on your ever-widening arse is not actually doing anything for the country. All right? Sorry to break that to you, Mr. Oh, my culture is dying. Yeah. Oh, there's all these people that are going down to Ramadan and Eid. Yeah, have you ever been to Eid? And the fucking food they make is incredible. Why would I sit in a Wetherspoons all night with you, am I? Talking about your bloody childhood and how much better things were when everyone on your street corners had a bloody Union Jack. Grow up, you muppet. Anyway, I've got no idea what I was going to say. I've just gone off into one.
I can come back on that one, John.
Please do.
My dad's got a very famous saying. He says, "You show me a true Englishman and I'll show you a liar."
Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Listen, what do you... So we're doing this live, folks, in case you were wondering. What do you fancy doing? I can start the main trajectory of my show, if everyone's ready, or do you want to say a bit more about this? Or
No, John, it's what happens to me, and our listeners are listening to this, obviously, my throat becomes a bit dry and fatigued, so I'll probably hand over to you now, but we've got some activity in the chat room. We've got the Pac-Man, good evening to you. Reality is too far for the political elite, that's what he's saying, it's too much of an ask. They do not live in the shoes of working people, but sadly this won't change. Have to disagree there, Sat. It will change. Mm. You just got to keep badgering on. But look, that's the big debate here, listeners.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry, Jim. Sorry, just, I'll come back to that just quickly. Is that in all due respect to the viewpoint there, but as far as things don't change, they do when we change them. This is kind of much of the point of the show that I do, is it's about working class people. Stop acting like we don't have any power or any control over something. We need to take control and power of our own lives. This is what, you know, the people who voted for Brexit say, "Oh, it's all about taking back control." Yeah, well, don't take back control over your own life.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we can. Collective agreement, trade unionism, things like that. You know, that's build a co-op in your local area. If you know, build a food co-op, stuff like that. It's all doable. Check, you know, go online, check, look at these things up. You know, hang out with your friend, do something productive. You know, stop acting like you're only as powerless as you want to be.
That's absolutely true.
Put it in your lap now, listeners. It's up to you. This is a message to the global working class. You are as powerless as you want to be.
Well, there's a challenge for you, there, listeners. Anyway, I'm going to sign off.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Judge Jim on The Big Debate here at Trax FM. It's great to be back. And
great to have you back.
Stay tuned. Thank you very much, John. Solidarity to you. Marvellous, John. A job that you've done with those people in London at the weekend and over the summer. Many of them have disappeared now. Hopefully
gone
not
back
to return. They've gone back to the pub. And, well, I can't say any more than that. But thanks for having me on, guys. And I'll stay tuned. I've got some emails to answer to now. But great to be back. Thanks. And it's over to you, John. Cheers now. Bye.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.